Welcome to the Get Together.
All over the world, there are people thinking about and creating a future of live digital events and performances.
They're disparate innovators who are artists, tech founders, nonprofits, and investors, and they need a place to gather and share ideas.
That's what the Get Together is all about.
I'm Jess, a theater creator who loves bringing people together around technology, art, and the internet.
And I'm Joe, a tech and media startup vet with over 10 years of experience growing and operating businesses.
Thanks for getting together with us. Let's dig in. Oh, yeah, Joe.
Hold on, I'm looking at my phone.
I take back, I was going to start with something really nice about you again, but now I take it all back. He's so happy right now. Like, the shit-eating grin on his face is so huge.
It feels great. Feels great.
Does it?
Yeah, it does.
Doug! We were talking recently, and you mentioned something that I, like, in passing that we kind of glossed over that I just, like, really wanted to take a moment to acknowledge, which is that you enjoy doing this podcast because you found you have more to say than you thought you did.
Yeah.
I'm not joking now, because I know, unlike you, who treats our relationship on this podcast flippantly.
Accurate.
I am actually being really serious. I found that to be, like, pretty profound in a whole bunch of different ways when I heard you say that. I just wanted to hear more.
Yeah. Oh, well, funny enough, I have thoughts.
What?
I know.
Get out of here.
When you create the space for thoughts, sometimes they happen.
Do you see this flippancy? This flippancy?
I'm flipping in. Flipping out. yeah, when I said that on the episode that you were about to listen to.
I was trying to hide that.
Spoilers. Feel free to cut this if it doesn't fit with your edit.
Not happening.
It came out and felt very genuine as I said it, like, you know, unscripted moments, love them. Cause it's about like what's like real in there. And Eric himself kind of alluded to this. He was like, I've thought a lot about this space.
Mm.
And so like how I feel about it, what I think, it's like deep down in there.
Mm-hmm.
And then each question, each moment, each conversation is about like pulling those different pieces and assembling them into sentences. But it's like, it's, you know, it's drawing from like a very real, very sturdy foundation. And that's quite a bit how I've started to feel. And it all started like, I don't know, like, let's say almost 3 years ago. I had just recently gotten out of a relationship that was like 6 years long and was like, I don't even know like who I am right now.
Oh.
Right. And like that was part of the problem in the relationship. It became a bigger problem out of the relationship. And I was just like, I don't even know like what I like or what I want or like anything. And it became sort of an exploration and like, okay, like what do I want? Like tap into like the feelings that I'm having, like identify them, learn from them, consider them, recognize them, use them. And so for like, yeah, let's call it the past 3 years for the simplicity of it. It's been an exercise in doing that more and more and more and more and recognizing the different feelings I have and sort of letting my mind sort of just wander to where it wants to go naturally and to sort of identify that which makes me, that which makes me happy, that which makes me interested. And I've gotten better at it.
Mm-hmm.
And when I let my brain just wander or when I, you know, try to channel it, it's a little bit more conscious than that. It goes places. And I love it because you don't control necessarily where it goes,
yeah.
Right? And you ask me a question, and I'm like, okay, let's see where it goes, right? And each time it's a little adventure as to what set of thoughts and what set of experiences it pulls up from that foundation. And that, you know, drawing from like the broad base of work and things I've read and things I've explored and cables that I've assembled all comes together into random things that I say on this podcast.
Wait. I feel like there's something missing that has not been said explicitly, and I'm going to take a guess at it.
Ooh, fun.
Because it sounds a little bit, to me, like it's like a computer learning it had feelings.
You're an asshole.
But I actually mean that to see it. You're right. I said that specifically for the impact. But is you're a really linear, logical sort of thinker. Well, some linear is probably not right because I do actually watch you think non-linearly all the time. But
fun.
But there is like a method to the way you process things that like isn't in my brain, right? Like, et cetera. So the thing I'm hearing nested is this idea of like letting go or wandering is very contrary to the way Joe's brain, who knows what footing it's on, is used to working in.
Yeah. I think I know what missing element you're talking about, and I didn't address it, but I should have, is external expectations. That's like the big factor that used to guide a lot of what I was thinking, how I was feeling, what I was doing, was what does someone else expect of me? Whether it's the person I'm in a relationship with, or it's that I'm in school and there's a specific, you know, set of parameters within which to operate. So it's like that idea that there's some external force that should or could be guiding the way that I think, the actions that I take, maybe even as far as like what I want or what I'm interested in, you know, parents' influence, you know, informing, you know, what I choose to study in college. I don't know, things like that. And so I think that's the big missing factor and the thing that I've sort of turned away from a bit, you know. Still applies to stuff people I care about, what they think and their influence on me. But it hasn't sort of quieted or silenced that inside voice and that inside voice. No, that's not what I want. it hasn't quieted sort of the feelings and the genuine curiosity, genuine excitement that just sort of exists because it exists and not because someone told me it should exist.
Yeah.
So I think that's the different thing.
Well, it makes me really happy. I was thinking back as you said that too, when we first met and you were like, I never wanted to be this, like a CEO person and go do the talks and things. And I realized, like, I was just going to say, I know that you don't, like, where I really enjoy being out to go to dinner with new people and like sort of talk, you know, to a million folks in a million different capacities or whatever it is that I have to do, you know, on a daily basis as a CEO. What I remember thinking as I was getting to know you was like, no way am I letting this guy get away with like not doing a podcast or not being on a panel with me. You know what I mean? And I'm really glad you didn't just say no, you know, and stick to it.
Thanks for not letting me shy away.
Yeah.
I do genuinely appreciate that, because it would have been so easy. I'd be like, well, I'll just go talk and do the talking. I'm being Jess right now.
That's accurate. That sounds about right.
So I appreciate you for consciously making that space. And I do, the podcast feels like that to me.
Yeah.
It feels like a very safe space to say silly things and theorize about other people's business models and what have you.
Which is not what we did this week.
No, we got an expert.
We did it, guys. We are not going to tell you about something we don't understand at all. We have an awesome guest for you this week, Eric Neal, who is the founder of Third Act Digital and whom we met in Clubhouse. He popped into our News of the Week in Tech and Theater Clubhouse show, I don't know, a few months ago.
Yeah, Clubhouse, the gift that keeps on giving.
Seriously.
Yeah, and Third Act Digital, really, really cool. It's an NFT marketplace, but not just any NFT marketplace. It's theater's first NFT marketplace.
Bless you, doing the Lord's work.
Doing the hard, hard work of pulling people, kicking and screaming into the future, into the present, into like the very slight past, maybe.
Yeah. What is time, as per usual.
That's amazing. In addition to that, I mean, he's just a brilliant guy, extremely well-spoken, very thoughtful and knowledgeable about the space. You can feel the care and consideration he puts into his words and how much thought he's put into this. And he's a Tony-nominated producer, you know, no big deal.
MBD. No, that's fine. Yeah, and he describes Third Act Digital as where the theater goes to collect. So we thought we'd have him on to be an expert and actually explain NFTs in a manner in which someone can understand it, which is not a skill set Joe or I possess, I feel like. B, to talk to us about Third Act and sort of through that lens, you know, how he sees theater developing in tandem with these new technologies. And third, what his vision for a beautiful future is, where theater and technology is intersecting a little more frequently than it currently is. What was your favorite thing about the chat, Joe?
Well, besides just not having to pretend to be the expert, because you and I just kind of hand that torch back and forth like a freaking hot potato.
Yep.
I really liked when Eric spoke a bit about what he thinks is coming in the future. It was both tangible and aspirational. Like, I could see how we get there, which is like a big problem I have when I'm thinking about like what is coming, what's happening. It's like the steps that we take to get there. And he has steps. He's got a vision for it. But it also feels like incredibly aspirational, especially within the theater community, but just in sort of the NFT space generally.
Yeah, I'd be very curious to hear after you listen to this episode, especially if you're not into NFTs and blockchain and all of this craziness. Like, I'd be curious to hear what you think after you listen to this and if it like inspires any excitement in you, or, you know, if it doesn't, like, because I think that's like what we're all sort of curious about in the theater is this going to be interesting enough for people who don't already have that technology hook to want to get into it? And I think what Eric does really well in this conversation, you'll tell me if you think I'm right or not, everyone, is sort of get at or underneath the it's technology that's, you know, validated by crowd and all the nerd shit and talk a little bit about like why this could actually matter to us as a community.
I'm excited to hear what people say.
Me
should,
too.
Should tweet at us.
All right. Well, enough from the armchair hot potato experts. We hope you enjoy getting together with us. Please enjoy this episode of The Get Together with Eric Neal. We're super excited to talk to you because we often joke that NFTs are like the, if you like go back and listen to this podcast, you know, a year and a half ago, we're both like, bleh, yep. Blockchain, bleh, NFTs. And then like slowly every week, we're like, oh no, we're talking about NFTs again and like blockchain management of IP and like all of that good stuff that of course is super exciting. So thanks for coming and joining us as a real expert instead of Joe and I's armchair experting.
I love it. Thank you so much for having me.
You want to tell everybody a little bit about yourself and us also? Because we don't know each other very well.
Yeah. Oh gosh. Yeah, for sure. So thank you so much for having me on the show. My name is Eric Neal. I am the founder of Third Act, Theater's first NFT marketplace. Before this, I was involved in, I'm an agency founder on the advertising side and do a fair amount of marketing within Broadway and theater. And I've been a co-pro before as well on Broadway. And that kind of really got me into this space in the commercial theater industry. And Third Act was founded at the top of last year, kind of at the peak of pandemic and disruption within the industry, as well as the same time that NFTs and crypto were really coming into the forefront of mass culture. Obviously, it's been around for many years before that, but just mass adoption was, I found, was happening at a really fast pace last year.
That's really exciting. The thing I've been wondering the most about is like, I mean, I know why you picked theater to work in this space because you love theater and you were doing co-pros, like you said, all the good stuff that you just said. But there's like a lot of different ways to explore NFT marketplaces and those business models. And so I was curious, and you're early, right? You're so early, particularly in the theater. So I was just curious, like why the theater and why Third Act, even though it's early?
Yeah, I think there's this really fantastic William Gibson quote that I love that is, the future's already here, it's just not evenly distributed. I love that quote. I think it's so profound. I think he's credited with the first instance of the word cyberspace, yeah. I believe. So like pretty tech futurist. And I saw that time and time again with theater. It was always late to the party with technology and is still lagging in things like streaming and has some fairly archaic rights models that are, I think, are kind of inhibiting it. And I wanted to help theater come back stronger than ever in the middle of the pandemic. I thought this is a time when this industry will have a little bit more time than usual on its hands, and let's use it to build back better. And put theater in the forefront. And it's something that I've, in terms of technology, and that's something I've never seen done before. So I thought this is as good a time as any. So let's do it.
That's very, very cool. One of the things I've been thinking about a ton, because if you've listened to the podcast, Jess and I joke quite often about the fact that theater feels like it's behind, perpetually behind, willfully behind, like trying to be behind sometimes.
Proudly behind.
Proudly behind. And so as someone who has started a company that is forcing theater to catch up a bit, to move ahead, to think ahead, like how are you getting that to happen, you know, whether it be through adoption of your company or the concept of collectibles in the NFT space, like What's your theory of the case for how to actually get them to, how to get the theater community to buy in?
Yeah, I think the benefits for theater are you have a new way to engage fans, you have a new audience you can reach with crypto and NFTs, and you have a new revenue stream. This is a net new space. There's so much new potential here. So that's really the first place we start. There's always a marketing story to be told. Because I have a background in theater, I think like that a little bit more than not always the technology first, because I want it to integrate with the story and be right for the production and right for the fans. And I think that as long as you're creating with the fan and the production and, you know, the broader impact on the planet in mind, you're going to make a pretty good product. So we approached it with that in mind. We're making a really consciously created marketplace. We're eco-friendly. We are thinking about the fan experience, and we're crediting creators and compensating them equitably as well.
I want to come back to that eco-friendly thing, because I wanted to ask you about that. But before I do, I also just realized, as I was listening to you talk about this, we have a very good chance for someone that's not us, who are not experts, to explain NFTs and, like, in light of third act probably, or in context, would be helpful for just for folks who are listening that are maybe more on the theater side and don't have as much experience. So would you mind taking up the mantle and explaining a little bit about what an NFT is and then how and what is happening on third act's marketplace?
Yeah, absolutely. So an NFT is a digital collectible that is unique and can be distinguished from its peers. So if you consider it like a digital trading card, digital trading cards have a one of one serial code. There is only one instance of that card in existence. And the technology that enables the NFT to actually exist and not just be a JPEG online is the blockchain. So this is a public ledger or a public record of all the transactions taking place. And that effectively gives a undisputed record of the NFT. So you can assure its authenticity, where it's coming from, what hands it's passed through, and attest to its value and authenticity.
That was so much better than anything we've ever.
It was so good, so succinct. And how many times have you been asked to do that? Like, everywhere you show up, they're like, hey, could you just do every time. Just one more time? Just one more time?
I love it. Every time I'm trying to see, it's like, you know, it's like a comedy bit. Can I tweak a word here or there? Can I say it more succinctly?
It feels very nice. Yeah. Very, like, palatable. You know, the whole, like, explain to me like I'm five, like, logic. Like, you nailed it.
Thank you.
And to just this, like, second part of that question, like, how would it actually work, you know, if I am a theater goer and there is the option for me to have a little piece of that story, but digitally and inside of a wallet or this or that, like, how am I actually doing it? What's tangible inside of third act?
Yeah, so you're doing it right in third act, and kind of actually this is something I meant to speak to in your previous question, which is around why theater and our approach to the marketplace is we've worked really hard to make crypto and NFTs backwards compatible. It's a really great technology. I feel like the gap for people to get in is a little bit too big. So we did a lot of work to narrow that gap and allow people to get in way more accessibly. And so when you go into third act, you can sign up with your email, with Twitter, with Gmail login, whatever that may be. And you can create a wallet that's linked right to your account with one click, and it's accessible via the password. So you don't have to go to another third party. You don't have to download an extension. And we've integrated Stripe, super secure and very accessible payment partners. So all NFTs can be purchased via credit card, and funds can be deposited and withdrawn via credit card pretty much instantly. So that's what we've done to make it super accessible and easy for people to jump in. And then on the platform, we have a number of collections. We've started with some small collections to test out different models and work with new productions in brand new ways and kind of pioneer this space. There are very few case studies out there to date. So we're kind of, I know there's some eyes on us from people out there who want to get in here and are probably learning from what we're doing. And we think it's fantastic. We want to accelerate the adoption of this technology in the space. We think it's a net positive for everybody, the more that are getting involved, no matter what marketplace or method they're getting into. We've just done a lot of work to make it as easy as possible to get into ours.
Who's we? Tell us about your company.
We.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're a team, a mighty band of hopeful technologists and theater lovers. So you know, good. The Knights of Camelot, yep. Coming to Web3.
Yep.
Yeah, but everybody that I spoke with, it was really interesting. I leaned really hard into the technology side because I wanted to make sure we had that expertise. So we have lead engineers, backend engineers, and a development team that's really well versed in kind of the full stack of web develop in general. And I quickly realized that there's not a ton of experience, really mature experience on the crypto side. It was so new. And a lot of developers that I was speaking with wanted to get into this space. But I loved having a shared excitement on the tech side as well. And as I continued to kind of find these really, you know, keen people who had the right attitude and mindsets and wanted to pioneer something, people with theater experience also kind of popped up within our development team. People had, some of our core engineers or their parents have been involved in theater. They've been actors in the past. So it's just interesting how theater is such a part of everybody's life at one point, yeah. Whether you were kind of in a high school play or your parents are a co-pro or whatever that may be. It's really interesting. So we're a team of about 8 people. We have development, marketing, production and producing outreach, as well as theatrical experience as well. Mm-hmm. We have a healthy group of advisors, ranging from kind of very experienced theater producers and in the advertising side on media, and some strong legal counsel too, because we need that. And I'm sure you have some questions around how that works too.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I want to jump in for a second on that, the type of person that you just described. Because I think that's my theory of the case as to how anything is going to change in the theater live performance space, is that people who are in love with it, invested in it, have worked in it in some capacity, or just, you know, been part of it in some capacity, but went somewhere else first, you know, became the technologist, learned full stack development, like acquired some set of skills that they're now going to bring back into that theatrical world and be like, hey, this is going to work. And I think if there's enough of those people, and it feels like there's more and more and more, that they'll continue to push it forward and get, you know, drive new adoption inside of it. So kudos to you and grabbing that team and finding the people who are sort of right to make that happen.
Oh yeah. It's been such a great adventure to find the right people. And even when we do talks on Twitter and within the more crypto native community, I'm finding that this project and this platform feels like a breath of fresh air to them, because they've never seen IP like this within their network and on the mm-hmm. platform. It's a lot of kind of an insular artist community, mm-hmm. Of people that are very knowledgeable or kind of OG crypto people or OG NFT people that are making their own artwork. And that's fantastic. But I think the value proposition that we had to the base technology, to the blockchain, was we're going to broaden your audience and we're going to bring new people into this space, which is what you need to grow and get exposure. And for us, we want access to the technology and we want access to what it affords. And so it was a really co-beneficial kind of exchange. And so we're on the personnel side, we're heavily invested in by the technology as well. Our base blockchain is Hedera Hashgraph, and they've issued us a grant as well. We're a technology grant recipient to help build the platform. So we have a really great relationship with them.
This is my opportunity to ask about Hedera and the sort of energy efficiency, right? There's an energy efficiency of this particular blockchain technology. Sorry, y'all. Yeah. We're going to get real nerdy here for a second.
No, it's important. It's important. I mean, even when we post on social media today, and if we're working with people who are promoting the platform, there's a lot of assumptions made about NFTs in general. And it's important to note that they're not all made equal. It really depends where you mint and how you mint. That just drives the impact of the asset on, you know, the world, basically. And it's wild to think that we're talking about digital images and things on our phone, but the impact on the earth is coming up more and more frequently. And I think it's great. It's just surprising as well. We were really intentional. We really built this marketplace consciously to be eco-friendly. And I think if we wanted to, you know, initially the first place you're going to look is Ethereum to get involved with, because it's the most popular right now. But I very quickly realized that it was just not a good, it's not a good look for the environment. And I thought with working with a very conscious crowd that, you know, theater might be behind on technology, but I think they can be the group can be very progressive when it comes to how we should behave. And I think the ideals of the community are very aspirational. So I think to be eco-friendly, it keeps us to a high standard working with that, this industry in mind. So Hedera Hashgraph is an alternative to a blockchain. It is a hash graph that can supply all the same benefits that a blockchain can without any of the eco impacts. So it's around 10,000 times as efficient as something like Ethereum or Bitcoin. They're actually a carbon negative company. In addition to being incredibly efficient, they also buy into carbon offsets. And they do things like they just announced a sustainability fund of $100 million specifically for eco-friendly ventures. So projects that want to use their technology for green initiatives. So I think that's just the kind of company that we wanted to partner with and saw a lot of principles that we agreed with when we looked at them.
Can we throw some more tasks for the expert at you? Could you quickly sort of...
You want me to call them?
Yeah.
Could you quickly just explain sort of, why gas fees and why those the sorts of processing power that goes into mining a Bitcoin or, you know, validating transactions is an issue?
Yeah, essentially the blockchain, how it's traditionally set up is kind of like a single file line. So it can only process a certain amount of transactions at a time. And it's generally around 12 transactions. I think the last time I checked on Ethereum, I think Bitcoin is around 3 transactions per second. Hedera is 10,000, over 10,000 transactions per second. So what happens is it's basically a queue. If we want to use a great theater analogy, it's basically a queue to get your ticket punched for the transaction to occur. And then you have people paying to cut the line. So that's where the gas fees come in to make things more expensive. And I think last I checked, to mint something on Ethereum is around $75. So going into some of the pricing of the assets and collectibles, we tend to lean towards typical theater merchandise costs, ones that were things that we're familiar with, $10, $20, $50 for these kinds of collectibles. And it just didn't make sense to have to pay $75 to get even a $20 collectible. Mm-hmm. It's just a tough proposition. So thankfully we found Hedera and they saw what we were trying to do and the math worked. So, and minting fees essentially on Hedera are a fraction of a penny. We're waiving them initially. So it's just go in, have fun. And it's a great place to start.
Okay. So I'm a producer on Blim Blam Miranda's show, Schmamilton. And you're trying to tell me why this is probably a terrible idea because they're so successful. They would of course be like, yes. So you're selling me on third act, but like, not like I'm selling a product, like literally explaining to theater people why I should work with third act. So like, I'm wondering because you've said a little bit about it, but like in plain terms, like if you're talking to a theater person, you know, or a producer, why I would do it and how I would do it, back to the legal stuff, you know, as a producer. Yep.
Why you would do it. I think I touched on it before very briefly. I think you're looking at engaging your existing audience in a new way. This is a new type of asset, a new collectible. If there's fandom around your show, that's a great piece. Great place to start. The next piece would be reaching a new audience. There's a growing crypto and NFT community. I think last year alone, there were 250 million people that had purchased something via crypto just last year. And then you've got the revenue potential as well. I think all of this is kind of overscored by a really strong marketing story if you launch a collection that coincides with the story of your show. So I like to lead with the story. That's where my theater brain starts, and lead with the story and not just the PR story, but the story you're telling on the stage. And how can you give somebody a souvenir or a memento that coincides with it? Is it a takeaway? Is it something that gives you access to the show? Is it something that's triggered at the event? There are a few things that I think can heighten the theater experience and complement it and still be separate. And so that's where I would start without knowing specifically what the show would be. Schmamalot. I'm really looking forward to it, by the way.
You're welcome.
I think I would start there with how the story, how it makes sense for the story to exist in this new stage, this platform of Web3. And then you've got the new crypto audience, you've got your audience to engage, and you've got the revenue potential. Is that specific enough?
No, more specific. Yeah. No, it's incredible.
Don't be afraid to say that. I always want to start more broad, and if yeah. there are more specific, we can go into the weeds if we want.
No, it's good. Well, let me give the space for Jess to actually answer that question of, do you want him to go more specific?
No, you can jump in.
About a cue.
Yeah, go for it.
I was just thinking through the lens of sort of, yeah, audience growth and like the cross-pollination of audiences. You know, my background is in like the YouTube space, and early on, like one of the big benefits of like these YouTube multi-channel networks was creators just kind of like cross-pollinating audiences. And that was a lot of the like really early growth of like YouTube content creator space. And it feels similar where it's like, oh, you've got crypto people, you've got theater people, you've got the people who kind of sit in the middle like us. And like, how are we cross-pollinating these two worlds? And I was like thinking more about like how y'all are doing that beyond just giving people the ability to purchase things for a show that they are interested in. Like, are there other things that you're like very consciously doing to break through and get new audience adoption and or cross-pollinate those audiences?
Yeah, that's, we learned that pretty quickly and pretty early that was so important to build the community and to scale it. The one main thing that we do is we have a really active blog.thirdact.digital, where almost every week we're spotlighting another creator or collector who's on our platform or has their own project. And they talk about how they got into the space, their first NFT, what artists excite them, and what they're doing. And the interesting thing between all of them is they all have a project that they're doing on their own in this space, which I found to be really exciting. And so some of them are, I think our last one, I believe his name was Josh, was on it. And he talked about how he has a theater VR project that he's working on. I thought it was so great that he was in theater, and before that Adressa was on, and she's has a Brazilian theater group that she's working with and playing with metaverse ideas. So I think it's giving people the space to share their own ideas and what they're doing. And as Third Act, we consider ourselves more of a stage and a platform. So it's not always about us. It's for collectors to go on there and show off their stuff, show off their own projects. Even if they're on competing chains or things like that, I think it's just the community is going to be the thing that really helps us grow. And knowing that we're not being too, there's not censorship involved with people promoting what they want to. So that's been really helpful for us. The Hedera community has been super welcoming. Really appreciate all the times that they're shouting us out and retweeting us.
It's funny. Something Joe says a lot is that the idea of trustless technology only matters if you like the community you keep, which of course is like something very near and dear to us working in live digital and the idea of, you know, building communities through that. But I kept thinking about that when you were talking about that even though you're a tech platform, I don't think I expected to hear that come out even with your platform and an NFT marketplace, really? But that it's still, yeah, because we talk about it in the light of DAOs a lot and, you know, things where people actually have to work together rather than purchase, but it really feels like it's everywhere inside Web3, that it's this killer combo of trustless technology and like community you care about, like you say, Joe.
I might have tweeted something like that today. My first tweet in like 8 years.
Oh, wow. Sounds like a revival.
Yeah. trying to work my way into a new NFT drop.
There you go.
And to get on the mint list, I had to tweet something at them.
But to be fair, you do say to that effect. You talk about that a lot, I think. That's really interesting. I mean, how does that work into your plans? Did you launch this to just be a straight up technology company? Like, I know you just said that, you know, you consider yourself a little more of a stage. Is it sort of like a hybrid venture then in that case?
Yeah, I think we want to be the destination where theater collects, whether that be digital assets or a community. I think we want a mix of both. And that's what's really going to be a driver for our success and for the community's benefit and for the user experience. As long as there are people there and it's active and alive and you're able to show off your personality and connect with, you know, like-minded people who maybe you didn't know yesterday, that's a win for everybody. The more the brand can connect people, that's pretty much all I want.
it's a good thing to want. So when you have a project with a theatrical show, do you have a team or whomever that's working to figure out what the NFTs actually are, or are the ad agencies coming to you with those ideas already? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have, as I mentioned before, I'm an agency owner, and we have internal resources. We have artists in-house and on roster, from graphic designers, 3D animators, audio editors, et cetera. And we really work hard to determine what the assets are, what do they look like, how do they function, what kind of utility do they have? And that's kind of, we're both a marketplace and a service. Mm-hmm. So we're, you know, a very easy place to go on and mint a collection and put it out there very inexpensively and efficiently. But I also realized really early in conversations with producers that this is a whole new space that most people don't have the bandwidth to figure it out, let alone the people to execute in it. So that's why we have that kind of execution arm and that thinking creative partner arm to us that can help determine what the specific assets are and how they work in your marketing plan and your show's business plan.
Have you always been an entrepreneur? Like, did you always want to, you know, walk down this path?
I don't know. I'd say I've always been entrepreneurial. I mean, I've built an agency that's now 5 years old. So that was definitely my first, you know, entrepreneur venture. And then working in advertising as well, I think I was always just pushing more entrepreneurial ideas. I just gravitated towards that, and I liked things that I had to do myself more and have more autonomy over what I was building and creating. So yeah, maybe it's more of an attitude. That's what I've leaned towards. Yeah.
I love that nested in your answer is this like cultural shift away from like the entrepreneur bro vibe. Like, I feel like for years that was I don't know what the right word is for it, but just like, yeah, I'm an entrepreneur and that's my calling sort of vibe.
Right.
And I feel that way as well. And I felt it in your answer that you're like, I'm entrepreneurial. I do entrepreneurial things. Please don't label me that way.
Maybe, you know, I'm watching We Crash, so maybe that's why I'm pushing away from that archetype.
I had to
as well
stop. I couldn't. I got 3 episodes in, and I think it's like the being a female leader. I just like couldn't watch him get yesed anymore. And I know that whole. I know how it ends. You know what I mean? Oh man, yeah. Well, I think that actually kind of connects through too to what I was just going to ask you. Like, why? What's your take on why they're is so much connection between theater artists or theater people in the theater? And I mean, I don't want to use the word entrepreneur anymore. I feel really self-conscious about it, but you know what I mean? Like, as we are seeing more and more and more, we talked to Chris Ashworth, the founder of Q Lab, is a fucking actor as well, right? Like, there's Randy Zuckerberg loves the theater and would rather be on a stage, I think, you know, at any given moment. Like, what is that crossover? What are those things that are in common with being an entrepreneurial and being a theatrical artist, designer, whatever it is, producer?
I think it's in the DNA of anybody who's active in the space. I think you have to be a really active and proactive person, and you have to advocate for your project, and you have to go forge new relationships. And I think it's part of being in the industry. It's just being entrepreneurial, making something for yourself. And it is very open. It's not to say it's easy, but it is very open, and it can be entirely on you to put together your next show or your next company or your next whatever that may be.
Yeah, I agree. I only wish that like it hadn't been so hidden for so many years. Like, I've been in this business for, you know, I don't know, 20 something years now. And like, I feel like I only started finding all these people that we're talking about across like the last 5 years, like in sort of like good standing. But I guess I'm grateful anyway that it's started to like come to light.
And how long have you been doing the podcast for? How long has it been running?
This one? A year and a half, I think.
I think we're just over 50 episodes.
Yeah.
Okay. And before that, had you done other podcasts? Did you find that kind of exploded your network and did that make you look at things differently?
Oh, this is good.
You're the candidate now. You're the interview.
It's a good question for Joe. I had done another podcast and all those things you just said, it kind of went into hiatus during COVID because my podcast co-host is a actor, a really well-known actor on the Broadway. And as you might imagine, his life went into disarray as COVID hit. But for us, like, it changed everything, right, on that podcast, being able to just contact anybody and everybody who had great communities built around the smart work that they did was totally life-changing. And that's when I told this one that we had to do one. What's it been like for you, Joe?
So this is my first podcast, or at least first time on this side. Although I guess that makes it sound like I've been on the other side. This is my first time doing anything inside of and or around a podcast. And I love it. One, Jess is extremely well prepared and helps to set up good space for it to be a comfortable experience. But also there's just like, I've got more things to say than I realized. And that's actually where the podcast was born out of. Jess and I would do a Clubhouse show back when Clubhouse was really taken off.
That's how we met Eric.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, duh, right? You were there.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then we would, like, the Clubhouse show would end, and Jess and I would just sit there and talk for another 30 minutes about what we were thinking about, what we had just read, the people we had spoken to. And we were like, should we just record this and turn it into a podcast? And here we are, 50-plus episodes later, coming amazing. Back around and hanging out with you again.
That's amazing. Congrats. It's great to hear a story come up like that so organically. You guys clearly have chemistry. It's great.
Oh, thanks. I think it's like very similar to the way you were describing, you know, your vision for how you're building Third Act, right? It's like for us, this podcast, the knock-on effect is nice, which is like, you know, we build a great network and deeper relationships with that network. But really, it exists kind of to build a community, because similarly to the way you were saying you enjoy curating projects, even if they're on competing platforms, you know, or whatever, or technologies, not platforms. That's kind of how we feel about anyone working in this sort of like intersection between technology and the arts and live digital, is that like, if the more likely it's more likely for us all to succeed if we know each other and we care about each other and we're educated about each other's work, you know, and we're helping other folks, i.e. all y'all that are listening, like be introduced to all those people, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely see the parallels there. It's the community first mindset is not lost on me. I think it really resonates with a lot of people, and it's needed more than ever. Maybe it was the past 2 years that we're like damn, I really want to be more social and I'll do it by any means necessary. Let's hop on the Zoom. Let's do the podcast chat, whatever that may be. And people stick around and you can formalize it and professionalize it. And yeah, there's never been more opportunity. Things like this are more accessible in a great way.
I think about it a little bit like making a theater company, to be perfectly honest with you. Like, I remember being out to lunch with an artistic director a few years ago before COVID that was like, are you sure you don't want to take over a theater? And I was like, fuck no, absolutely not. No way. Cause like, I don't understand anything about like the bureaucracy and I so many things feel like not a great fit for me. But this is like the version of building a theater company that I love. You know what I mean? It's like, it's a little, you know, it's a little riff on that idea, but that's what it feels like to me every day, is like building a little theater company of humans I love, who are really good at whatever it is that they do, that we get to spend, you know, little pockets of time. It's like going to summer stock, you know, maybe we'll do a project with Third Act and maybe we'll do this with Marquee Digital or whatever it is. It's actually really similar, I think, at least for me.
We should tokenize all of our favorite companies, mint them using Third Act, and then gift them to ourselves.
Yes.
So look at them.
Let's do it.
You wrote your cue of the day. We always ask everybody, what question do you wish you were getting asked more often? And you wrote, who should be paying more attention to this space, Eric? And so I'm very curious about who should be paying more attention to this space.
Yeah, I inflected on that maybe a little bit too much. I was like, I thought about it a lot and I was like, I want it to be a simple question, but I feel very well spoken. I don't feel like there's too much left unsaid. There's not too many questions I'm dying for here. So I was like, okay, this is maybe a good time to get some attention from a group or somebody here. So I think that producers are looking all over this space already. I think if you talk to a lot of them, they're, you know, they've heard of it. They've probably never been approached by us or somebody else or a combination. I think that there are the lesser seen groups within theater that should be looking at this space. I think whether it be minorities, the groups that perform on stage, or it be lesser seen in terms of behind the scenes, the professions mm-hmm. as well, should be looking at this space, because we certainly are, and how to integrate them as well. This is not just around kind of business as usual and how the traditional pay structures have been distributed in the past. We're looking to make it more equitable and make the industry more equitable for more people. So if you're in theater at all and you don't feel, and you hear that, even hear this podcast and don't feel like it's speaking to you, I want to talk to you because I think there is a place for you here. I know that's super wide open, but I think it's, we're starting with the tip of the iceberg in big commercial shows and actors and celebrities that people know and are familiar with to prove out the platform and to get attention and to build the base. But everybody is welcome. And I think that everybody should take a look at how they can be integrated. And if not, I would love to chat about it specifically at all points of or roles or positions within the theater producing industry.
What a perfect call to action for the audience here.
It was really good. I assure you, if you're listening, like, we're watching, we're all on screen. And like, Eric, you're very, I actually don't know what the right descriptive phrase is. You're very sure-footed in your speaking about all this, but like, it is so clear that you're not, you know, rattling off a script or something that you've said. I mean, you've probably said a version of this, like you said at the beginning, a million times, but you know what I mean? Like, it's,
I appreciate
that. Not everyone is so sort of like sure-footed. That's the word I'm going to use, as you have been on this episode.
You know, I really appreciate that. And it's high praise coming from, I know, you know, you guys talk to a lot of people, so it is high praise and I appreciate it. I would say, sometimes I feel like I'm stumbling over my words. I've thought a lot about the principles of the company, but not then the questions kind of force me to go back to them and I'm trying to make it, you know, conversational, but I've thought a lot about the principles and I think this is a very intentionally formed company and platform. So the answers are there. I just need maybe a minute or two to form the sentence.
Always. Okay. So as we're rounding towards the end of this, I'm curious, what does a successful third act digital look like 2 years from now? I don't know, five, whatever you want to, 2 and 5 and 10. What are wins for you?
I think it's wider adoption through the industry. Major shows, being able to access the platform super easily and mint on their own behalf and kind of, you know, more self-serve model, which is what we're working towards. I think on the fan side, it's acceptance of NFTs as a token, as a souvenir. And then a little bit of an evolution of the technology as well, where what can it do and how else can we use it? How else can we integrate it into a show? I would love to see it be more integrated into the theater going experience from when you see the ad on Instagram or you're browsing the tickets online and you buy your tickets. And then how does that NFT integrate at different touch points along the journey? I would love to see that be more and more sophisticated in a couple of years. And we have some ideas and some plans in place with productions we're talking with. So that there'll be some great case studies out there. And ultimately, I hope that shows take upon themselves to do more of their own and try to run with it. And again, just trying to accelerate the adoption of technology here. So the more that theater does this, the better it is for everybody. We'll have more information to work with. We'll have more case studies. We'll have more audience members that are familiar with the platform and hopefully have a really strong community across multiple chains that are looking for this work and showing that theater fans can really push forward a technology like no other.
That's recorded. We're going to all come back to that in a couple of years.
Let's show them. Let's show them that, you know, I think we all agree that maybe theater is a little bit of a laggard on technology, but I'd like to shift that. And I'd like to see that change over the next few years and really embrace technology and show the sports leagues a thing or two.
Yes. Joe, do you have anything else that you wanted to get around to before we ask Eric to do all the, you know, good, where can you find me at stuff?
Plug good stuff. No, take it away, Eric. Where can we find you?
Are you guys on MySpace? All right. You can find us at thirdact.digital. That is our homepage, the marketplace. Go explore, check it out, make an account, see something you like. And you can also check us out at _thirdact, or we're very active on Twitter and Instagram. So look for that. And then if you wanted to catch up on any of our kind of white papers and 101s and weekly roundups, we do plenty of articles on blog.thirdact.digital. And I'm Eric Neal. You can check me out. I think I've got a fairly active on LinkedIn, I guess. You could check me out there. Just Eric Neal.
Sweet. We'll put all that in the show notes.
Thank you guys so much for having me. This was a fantastic interview. You guys are great.
Really fun. Great. Great getting to see you.
God dang it, that was fun. Thanks for listening, y'all, and being part of the get-together.
The goal of this podcast is to bring people together and to have these important conversations. So share this with someone who's a little afraid of the Web3 crypto space, but is willing to take that leap if it's on a recommendation from a good friend.
I'm Jess.
And I'm Joe.
We'll see you back here next week. No goodbyes.
I haven't been doing it for the get together.
You did. You, in fact, did it over mine last week.
That was on purpose.